Hey guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity.
Are you looking to save a little money with your twins? I mean, seriously, who isn't? And if you're not, could you give us a call? Because we could definitely use a loan. But for realsies, let's talk numbers here. Okay, the cost of diapering twins with disposable diapers for 3 years comes out to, hold, are you ready? About $7,000.
Oh, God, it hurts. It really does.
But hang on, okay? So here's how we're going to save some money. Did you know that the twin bundle from KangaCare that includes 48 diapers comes out to only $1,500? That's $5,500 in savings. What are we going to use that for?
I don't know. That could buy a lot of unnecessary things from Amazon.
But KangaCare cloth diapers, also known as romperoos, if you're Googling it, they're my favorite cloth diapers hands down. The romperoos feature a patented double inner gusset, which is exclusive to KangaCare, and they help keep the messiest of messes contained. The 100% hypoallergenic interior is great for newborns and anyone with sensitive skin. They fit babies from 6 pounds to 35 pounds and are designed so sweetly and so beautifully that you're gonna like literally when you go to their website and you see all the super cute designs, you're gonna be like, hey, I want a bag in that. I want, you know, sheets in that. They have the cutest fabrics. So all you need for your twins is 48 diapers and you're set from birth to potty training. That's not a joke. So use the code TWIN10 for 10% off of your purchase at KangaCare.com. Some exclusions apply, but you could check out their website for full details. KangaCare.com. Go over there and tell them we said hi. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Okay, I'm like so classic. I'm going to say I'm excited today, but I got to find something new to say because I get excited about everything, but it's true. Today, we're speaking to one of my favorite types of people. In the history of peoples, we are speaking to Christy Herring, who is not only a twin mom, and not only does she also have two older singletons before her 20s, but she's also a labor and delivery nurse. Oh, they're my faves. They literally are. They're my faves. Labor, I don't even know. There should be statues. I say it all the time. For labor, delivery, postpartum, and NICU nurses, definitely some of my favorites. So we're going to dig into quite a few things because I know if you're currently expecting, you're getting stressed about delivery. So first, we're going to talk about some delivery realities. We're going to talk about things that nurses hate when you do this. We're also going to talk about preterm labor and when to call your doctor and what's going on. So there is a lot to dig into. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Christy? Well, even if you're not, too late, because here she is. Here's my good friend, Miss Christy Herring. Cue the applause. I don't even want to waste a second of this, Christy. Literally, they're listening right now. We have a captive audience. Everybody's freaking out about their delivery.
It's very easy thing to freak out about, and it's very understandable. And if anybody has any questions, don't take my word for gold. Always check with your care provider. Always do what they recommend first. Mm-hmm. All the labor and delivery units and hospitals all across the country, the world, they are open 24/7. So if you can't get hold of your doctor, you can always call your local labor and delivery unit and ask them questions directly.
Amen. And depending on what state you're in, also,
yes,
the rules are very different. So we're going to give some general, we're going to have a generalized conversation, but then knowing that it has to be taken with a grain of salt until you find out if this is fact in your hospital.
Yes.
Yes, that's always the way that it goes, unfortunately. And we have a lot of international people, too. So it gets even more complicated when you leave the borders yes. of the United States. Okay, I want to jump in. I don't even know where I want to go first. But I think first I want to talk about you so that people mm-hmm. know that you're not just another nurse who's telling us what to do, that you're literally yes. you're literally one of us. So you roll the dice two times. You got a few singletons. And then you're like, let's just do one more.
Okay. So what happened was I had my first few babies before I was a nurse. I was actually starting my prerequisites for nursing school when I had my second child, my 11-year-old. So I started working as a postpartum nurse, the nurse who takes care of you after you've delivered. Mm-hmm. And then I transferred to labor and delivery. And I got baby fever. And I said, husband, can we try for one more? And he said, yes, as long as there are no C names, our older two are C names. And then we took the IUD out and got pregnant 5 months later and went to the car dealership for a new car. And they said, you want third row seating? I said, no, it's not twins. Guess what? 2 weeks later, it's twins.
Did you buy the car?
I bought the one without third row seating and couldn't return it. So we had one car for a long time, and my dad would come and pick us up and drive us places as a whole family to go when we had to go multiple places all together. So, yes.
So your twinnies went, how did your pregnancy go as a labor and delivery nurse? Did that affect now the way that you were a pregnant person?
It did affect me. Now, I had only, by the time I delivered the twins, I'd only been a labor and delivery nurse for a year.
Okay.
I'm going on 8 years now. So with them, it made me realize everything that could possibly go wrong. And it made me grateful for how my pregnancy went. I say that my twin pregnancy was my magical unicorn pregnancy. I felt really good with that pregnancy. I was expecting to have a condition called hyperemesis gravidarum. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're pregnant and you cannot stop vomiting. Nothing helps you. And a lot of the times you have to be hospitalized and get IV fluids and protonics and special nutrition through your IV. And every twin mama that I had met up until that point as being a nurse mm-hmm. had hyperemesis gravidarum. So I was expecting that to happen. And when it didn't, I was just so excited because I cannot handle nausea and vomiting at all. So every pregnancy is different. So I was really surprised that one was fantastic.
Oh, I love that. Okay, good. So you had a good pregnancy. How was your delivery? How far did you go?
It was fantastic. I delivered at 38.2 weeks. I did have a complication with, I do have chronic high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So I did have to deal with that. That's why I delivered at 38 weeks. I was induced. I showed up at the hospital a little after 4 a.m. because I was not on time. I was already 4 centimeters. I got started on Pitocin. I got my epidural before my doctor broke my water, was complete by 10:45, and I had delivered both babies vaginally in the OR, which is common practice, at least here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I delivered in the OR, delivered my baby A, my boy, at 11:07, and delivered my little girl. She was breech. The doctor tried to turn her. She would not turn. She's stubborn. She's still stubborn to this day. And she came out. She was a breech delivery at 11:12.
Okay. All right. So at least we're on the same day on the bright side. Oh,
11:12 in the afternoon.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. Beautiful. So look, wonderfully uneventful. I love that.
Very uneventful.
We love boring pregnancies at Twiniversity, as does the rest of the world. We enjoy those. And now putting on your nurse hat. Here we come in, a ball of stress. Everybody's freaking out. We didn't have the luxury of knowing what two deliveries would be like, because that also plays a role too. You have, you know, you find out you're having your twins. It's our first time. We're all excited. We have a plan. I want to talk about the realities of this.
Okay.
Are you ready, Christy? We're going to do.
Yes. Very ready.
Here's my question. Number one, epidurals. Does pretty much everybody get one nowadays, or is it still 50-50, or how do you see that going with twin parents?
With twin moms, the providers that I work with, and I agree with them, it is strongly recommended for the moms to get the epidurals just in case you have to be a cesarean section. Just because we try for a beautiful vaginal delivery doesn't mean it's going to happen. I was very, very lucky with my deliveries. Not every delivery goes that way. I did have one mom who, she had her first baby vaginally. The second one we had to deliver via C-section. That's why we deliver in the OR. And so by having the mom get her epidural first, it makes that possibility of a C-section more easy to do. Because through that epidural catheter, through that space, we can give you extra medicine to bring you to a C-section level so you don't feel the incision happening versus being in an emergent situation where we have to put you to sleep. And that's what we had to do with that mom who delivered vaginally and then C-section. She had to be put to sleep under general anesthesia. And the general anesthesia, it's wonderful when we need to use it, but it is a risk factor for baby because it goes to baby immediately. And then when baby comes out, he or she may have a harder time breathing.
Okay.
And so that requires that baby to possibly end up having neonatal intensive care, possibly, not guaranteed. But that's why we like to do the epidural versus natural. Now, granted, we try to respect the mom's wishes. And so don't do it until they're ready for it. But it is strongly recommended by most providers where I work at to do an epidural if you're planning on a vaginal delivery.
Now, is it possible to have the epidural in place, but no medication run until we actually need it?
I feel like, yes, that is a very, very good possibility. It just depends on what facility you're at. I think it'd be something that the mom would need to talk to her provider about, to make sure that the provider is comfortable, the nurses are comfortable with it, and that the anesthesia provider is also comfortable with it as well. They would probably need to, typically how they do it is they insert that epidural catheter in the correct space, and then the anesthesiologist or the certified registered nurse anesthetist, I can't say that word, or CRNA, they do a test dose to make sure it's in the right spot.
Okay.
So they might want to put medicine there just to make sure it's working. But that is a possibility. But again, they have to discuss it with their provider and the person doing the epidural as well.
Now, is there ever a point in the labor process that it might be too late to get an epidural?
Again, that is up to the provider and the mom. Typically, especially if this is the mom's very first pregnancy, you might have a little bit more time. But if you are in labor and delivery terms, we call moms who've had several babies a multip or multiparity or multigravida. That's just our fancy word for it. So if this is like your third or fourth pregnancy, then they tend to move a little bit faster. So after about 8 centimeters, that's usually the cutoff. Because typically you have to sit up in the bed to do the epidural. And so just the process of sitting up will cause you to dilate more, cause your baby to drop more. And so if you're looking for the epidural for pain relief, then by the time they're done with it, you might be ready to have your baby.
Yeah.
And that's just gravity and everything working. And then also if your water breaks, you're more likely to have a quicker delivery when your water breaks. So usually about that time, if you're thinking you want it for pain relief, that's a good time to get it.
So, I love this. I know it, and that this really does vary state to state, but as you said too, it really varies from doctor to doctor, but it's a good way to know that you could have that ready to go and have it kind of like a, you know, in case of your emergency, you know, run stuff through this.
Yes.
And it's not a horrible way to have the best of both worlds, but yeah.
I got my epidural with my twins before my doctor broke my water. She hadn't even seen me yet. I got it at like 7 a.m. at Japan, because I didn't want to feel her break my water. And I had been a labor and delivery nurse long enough to know that multiple mamas go fast, like moms who've had several babies go faster. And I was like, I was so scared. I was scared of having to go under general anesthesia. And so I was like, I want it as soon as I can get it. And I did.
Good. You did it. Woot, woot. Okay. Now I want to talk about who's part of your team in a hospital. on delivery day. So when we go into the hospital, we're put into a labor and delivery room, and we're going to sit there and we're going to labor until it's showtime. During the kind of dress rehearsal section, when we're in that labor and delivery room, who could we expect to come in and out of that room?
So typically what you have is your nurses, and depending on the facility that you're delivering at, it depends on how large the hospital is, how well they're staffed, things like that. You typically will have the labor nurse for mom.
Okay.
And then you usually have at least one to two nursery and or NICU nurses for each baby. You might have the pediatrician or a neonatologist on staff also for delivery. You obviously have your doctor. You might have a second provider, whether it be another OBGYN, or if your hospital uses midwife, it might be another midwife. You will have you typically another provider there to help monitor the second baby. And then, again, it varies from state to state, hospital to hospital, city to city. When I delivered, we had the OR team was there as well, just in case I had to be a C-section. So they're usually on standby. Mm-hmm. And then I had my midwife and my doctor. And at that time, our nursery nurses weren't attending the delivery. So my labor nurses actually were on standby to receive the babies. So
it's a big team. And this is
a very big team.
Which, no, they would never fit in a labor room typically anyway.
Typically, but some of our, like our labor rooms are very large. Nine times out of 10, you will be delivering in the OR on the off chance that you are possibly a C-section with a second baby. However, some providers are comfortable delivering in the labor room. We did have one provider that we had his patients right across from our OR suite. And so he would deliver in the room. He did that at least twice that I can remember.
Wow. That would be great. But it's understandable. It really is understandable. And also, you know, it really depends on where you are too. Because here in New York City, you can't even get, you know, your mother-in-law and your husband to sit next to you. So it's...
Yes,
it's,
and you do get to have, like, you do get to have your partner with you at delivery.
Okay.
For some weird reason, this was pre-COVID when I had my twins. Mm-hmm. So for some weird reason, they let both my husband and my mother-in-law be back there, which was very weird to me. But they allowed it. So
I'm also with you. My sister was also in my delivery room with my husband. So I think it depends on every situation and every hospital and every doctor. So it's, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask if it's something that you'd like, but you can't, it's never going to be guaranteed. There's pretty much no guarantees of things that they could do. Now,
and typically, if you do have to go, and this is for all moms, not just twin moms, at least for the hospitals here that I've worked at, I've only worked in two hospitals. We had roots. With general anesthesia, typically they do not let the significant other back there. Usually it's just the medical team with general anesthesia because of potential complications.
Yeah.
So if you're told, hey, well, we're going to general anesthesia, so you can't come back here. It's not that they don't want you back there. It's for safety reasons.
Yeah. Now, so, what are some of the choices that a new set of parents might have that they may not even be taking advantage of? So in your hospital, are there things that we might be allowed to do, but nobody asks because they just assume no?
Oh, yes. So, one of the big things. So with, I love all providers, OB-GYNs, midwives, I love them all, but you need to make sure that you got to get my train of thought, that you verify what you can and can't do while you're in labor. Obviously you have to be on the monitor with the babies if you're in labor to make sure everything's okay. But you can also check and see, can we do something called intermittent monitoring, where if you're not on any medicine to make the contraction stronger, if you don't have any complications like high blood pressure or diabetes, anything that would require constant monitoring the babies, maybe see if you can get off for 30 minutes or so to go walk around or get in the shower. you can bring your own birthing ball. A lot of patients don't realize they can bring their own birthing ball, and not every hospital has them. Mm-hmm. My hospital, we have peanut balls. We don't have the birthing balls. And so if you want to do that, you can do that as well. You can check with your hospital and see what their specifications are, but you can bring diffusers into the room. So you can have your peppermint oil diffusing in the room with you, a fan. Make sure you have a fan. Those things that you can have. You can have your own little music playing. If you have most hospital rooms, most lab rooms have a TV in the room, and all TVs come with a little USB port. So you can bring your little Amazon Fire Stick or Roku stick and stick it up in there and play what you want. Just things like that, just general comfort stuff.
Mm-hmm. What about food? A lot of times, like if you're going to be there for an extended period of time and you're there with your partner and you know that as a patient, I'm getting a tray, am I allowed to ask for extra from my partner?
Yes. Most hospitals do a complimentary tray for the partner. They also, sometimes they just charge extra for the meal. They run a debit card or cash or whatever. But I know the hospitals in my area, they also do DoorDash.
Yeah.
So you can always DoorDash something to the room. Again, it depends on the facility you're at with COVID restrictions when they let you in and out, but the partners are allowed to leave. And I say, if you're going to pack a bag, make sure you pack snacks.
Yeah.
Snacks are very important.
It really is. I always tell people too, when you're filling out like your breakfast order, to ask for like extra bread, not toasted, and a little bit of peanut butter or something. And then you could put it on the window and you could be like, okay, now I have a peanut butter sandwich for lunch. So to think ahead the whole day, not just for that specific meal, but it's okay to ask for like two hard boiled eggs. You could have stuff like that. It doesn't have to just be one. They may not always give it to you, but once again, it's one of those things that if you don't ask, you're definitely not getting it.
And most nurses station have snacks and stuff specifically for patients. It just depends on how well they are stocked or what their particular director or manager orders for them.
Now,
we have ways to get food.
That you guys really do. Honestly, I have to say the truth. Nurses are, you're like the magicians of snacks.
Sometimes we share our own food because especially night shift nurses, when we work several nights in a row, we bring extra snacks. You never know what we're going to be hungry for.
Now, what is something that we could do that could irritate you?
Honestly, me for nothing. There, if it is irritation, it's mild irritation. What bothers me the most is when my patient says, "Well, I didn't want to bother you. I'd rather you bother me. That's my job. My job is to take care of you and your babies and to also take care of your partner." This is a scary time. We don't know unless you've been a labor nurse, unless you've experienced this, you don't know what to look for. And each pregnancy, each labor is different. Even if you had twins with your last baby, with your last pregnancy, it's still different. You can't compare the two. So please ask questions. I like when my patients ask questions. I like providing education. So probably the biggest thing is saying, "I didn't want to bother you. Please bother me." We like to help. That's why we're nurses. The other thing is general rudeness. There's no reason to be rude.
Yeah.
Now, when you're hurting and in pain, that's excusable. But general rudeness, general feeling like acting like a know-it-all. I mean, this is our area that we have trained for. So just be open to our suggestion.
That's a really nice way to put it. Just be open to our suggestions. You're being very gentle.
Thank you.
That's a very diplomatic answer by the nurse, but it's really true. I think that sometimes people come in thinking that it's hard facts and you don't, no one really knows. It's very, I can imagine how frustrating that could be for you.
Something that I've always said is that the only thing predictable about pregnancy and labor and delivery is that it's unpredictable. We never know what's going to happen. We know what we want to happen. But we don't know what's going to happen. And then one of my lovely coworkers, whom I love, she's my little work mama. She always says, never trust a pregnant lady. And it's very true. not that you're untrustworthy. It's that we don't know what your body and baby's going to do. Everyone is different.
Yeah.
There's no hard set rule of this is how your labor is going to go. This is how your baby's going to act. Just because you had a vaginal delivery with your first one, it means that you had a higher chance of delivering vaginally with your next one. That's why we let our moms try.
Mm-hmm.
But something might happen with one baby or the other one that requires a cesarean section. You can't predict what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about being predictable, right? A lot of us have birth plans, right? So I'm really trying to shift the whole verbiage with that and go with birth preferences, that this is the items that you would prefer. So we're trying. Honestly, Christy, know that I'm doing my job here at Twiniversity to make sure that people understand that plans go off the rails sometimes. But if we come in with a birth preference and sheet, what are some of the items that you've seen that may be more realistic to have come to fruition versus others?
Honestly, there's no birth preference that I've seen that I have thought was unrealistic if you have spoken with your provider.
Okay.
There are certain providers that you can talk till you're blue in the face and say, I want delayed cord clamping. I want it. And they won't do it. So you have to make sure that your birth preference is something that you are educated on. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just go on Google and find things that other people have done. You need to be educated on it and discuss it with your provider.
Mm-hmm.
If your facility that you plan on delivering at offers birthing classes, discuss it with whoever is teaching that class and go over with them what is okay, what is realistic. It's not realistic to say that you don't want an IV.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have an IV. If you are delivering in the hospital, which I have nothing against home births, but for me personally, and even before I was a nurse, home births scare me because you don't know what's going to happen, mm-hmm. especially with twins. So I would rather deliver in the hospital because at least if even a birth center that's attached to a hospital, you have somewhere to go in case of an emergency. It's unrealistic to say no IV access. We have to have an IV. That is for baby safety.
Mm-hmm.
When we are looking at the monitor, when you have the belts on, we're looking at babies. One of the things we look for are drops in baby's heart rate,
okay.
about a deceleration. When that happens,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's a normal thing. It's just really short and it doesn't bother us. But other times it's really long. It happens after a contraction. It scares us as the nurses. So one of the things that we do is we come in, we turn you to your side.
Okay.
We start giving you the IV bag that's hanging. Usually it's lactated ringers or normal saline. We give that really fast. You'll hear us say, give a bolus. We'll give that really, really fast. And we might put oxygen on you and stop. If we have any medicine going to make contractions stronger, the Pitocin, we would stop that.
Okay.
That is safety measures. Those are called intrauterine resuscitation measures to help your baby.
Okay.
So we have the IV in for safety reasons, not just because we want to poke you. So it's unrealistic to say no IV access. It's also unrealistic to say no antibiotics if you need it. If you are group B strep positive,
mm-hmm.
then we need to treat you. Because if you were to either A, deliver vaginally and be untreated, or B, be a C-section but have been, had your water broken for a prolonged time, then baby's exposed to that group B streptococcus bacteria.
Yeah.
And if you're not treated properly, baby can get an infection that could possibly lead to sickness and death. So that's why we treat mom.
Okay.
Same thing if... One of the other reasons why we give antibiotics in labor is you could be group B strep negative,
mm-hmm.
but you spike a fever. during labor.
Yeah.
That's related to an infection with the bag of water being broken too long. So those are reasons to give antibiotics. We have the IV in place for safety. So that's the biggest thing, is saying no IV.
Yeah.
You're delivering in the hospital, you're going to have an IV. That's all I want to do. Let me put an IV in you and you can do whatever else you want. I don't care.
That's very, very realistic. I do think that some people are like, oh, it's standard procedure. And, you know, the hospital is just doing it to check a box on my insurance company. Nope. Thank you, Christy. That's all I have to say.
You're very welcome.
People know that there's actually something. Okay, now I want to talk about C-sections. All right. There's a lot of families who really are very upset that they have to have a C-section. They may have dreamt about having a vaginal delivery for their entire adulthood and watched way too many episodes of, you know, baby shows on cable about how, oh, I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to pull them out of myself and put them on my chest, right? So you have these visions, and then you might find out that you have to have a C-section and disappointment might strike. What are some things that we could do during a C-section that could make it a little bit more of an organic experience?
So the biggest thing with a cesarean section is it's really hard to make that as organic as possible. One of the things that you can, the biggest thing is talking, education, asking questions. That's the biggest thing. Typically what they do is, depending on the situation, if it's a scheduled routine cesarean section, then things are usually a little bit more calm.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of an emergency, if baby B won't come down, if we have problems with the heart rate, things like that, it's more of an emergency situation, then things are a little bit more hectic.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you can do is, some hospitals do offer a clear drape. That way the mom can see what's happening. I don't recommend that unless you've got a really strong stomach. Mm-hmm. I really don't recommend it. Most dads can't handle it. I'm just saying. They don't want to watch all that. But the other thing is, you can do is you can request to do skin to skin in the OR.
Mm-hmm.
With the babies. You have to make sure that the provider is okay with it, that the nursing staff, both the OR team and the labor nurses, are okay with it as well, because mom's arms are kind of strapped down. And that's for safety purposes. We don't want moms to be reaching and possibly getting their fingers cut off. We don't want that. So mom's arms are strapped down. So someone has to help hold the babies to the chest for mom. It's just really hard to make that organic.
Yeah, it's an operation. You know what's interesting too, Christy? I find that so many families who have C-sections forget that it's an operation. And so when they're dealing with doctors in the future and they say, do you have any previous surgeries? We have a lot of people that just don't even consider that an operation.
Yes. And it is an operation. And I know that there's a lot of psychological trauma that comes with being a pregnant woman and going through, whether it's a vaginal delivery or a C-section.
Mm-hmm.
And like you had said, how a woman dreams of having this beautiful vaginal delivery and then she ends up being a C-section. That is trauma that they have to come to grips with. And not everybody realizes that. And that the woman thinks she's a failure because she had to have a C-section, but you're not a failure. You are still a mama. You still carry this baby. You still gave birth to this baby.
Mm-hmm.
He or she just had to come out a different way. And some of those things are beyond our control.
Yeah, it's true. It really is true. It gets to be that, you know, especially with twin families, we have this whole guilt of, you know, even early delivery that,
yes,
you know, I couldn't hold them in long enough and it wasn't the way it was supposed to be. But there really is no supposed to. It's really going to be those baby stories. So we don't know what their story is. They never told us.
And speaking of delivering early, it is very common for twin pregnancies, and as you go higher in the multiples, to deliver earlier. So it's very common for twin moms to deliver between 34 and 37 weeks. That's very, very common. And it's also very common during the pregnancy, especially if that your doctor notices that, or doctor or midwife notices that you've been contracting, for them to give you a shot during pregnancy called betamethasone or celestone. It's a steroid shot that matures the baby's lungs. So that's very, very common. Just because you get that shot doesn't mean you're going to deliver early, but mm-hmm. they're anticipating just in case.
And you could get that very early on in your pregnancy. It's not like we're, you know, post 34 weeks. It could be if you go to labor and delivery for, you know, who knows what, they may say, okay, as a precaution, we're gonna do this now.
Yes.
Is there a too soon time? Like, is there a cutoff date for when they wouldn't do that?
Usually at 36 weeks, usually between probably about 20 before 24 weeks.
Okay.
And then at 36 weeks, they usually don't do it. Okay. Typically. 37 weeks is usually when the lungs are fully mature by 37 mm-hmm. weeks. And then I haven't read the articles on it. I really need to get better at reading articles. But I've heard throughout my career that because there's more stress on a twin pregnancy, the babies tend to mature a little bit faster anyways.
Mm. Okay. So, that would make sense though. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would, if you think about, you know, singletons born at the time that we're born, what's going on, you know, versus yes. them. So it's true. We're definitely, you know, we're the scholars of the, yes, the maternal definitely. Fetal medicine definitely. Area. That's how we roll. So with the supposed to's and with the this should happen, let's talk about going to labor and delivery early. What are yes. some of the things that we should look for that make us say, okay, it's time to, you know, overreact, let's say, and okay. go to the hospital? What are those things that we should really be looking for, Chrissy? Like, if this was your sister, what would you tell your sissy to look for?
So, and this is what I tell all of my patients. Again, we're very big on patient education. My favorite thing, I actually had gone to school to be a teacher first. So, okay, things to look for no matter what. Now, I don't know how the hospitals in other places are mm-hmm. here in Nacogdoches and Lufkin, Texas. Before 20 weeks, you are typically seen in the emergency room.
Okay.
After 20 weeks, you go to the emergency room, tell them your complaint, and then they send you to labor and delivery. Depending okay. on what size hospital you are, you might be seen. Some hospitals have a standalone labor and delivery ER. That's where okay. you would go straight off. Some of them have a little triage room that you go to. Others, you just go straight up to the regular labor and delivery unit. So our unit, we see everybody. It's not separated. We see everybody. So things to go. Decrease fetal movement or not feeling your baby move. That okay. is the biggest thing. If you are not feeling your baby move, you need to go to the hospital, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Go to the hospital.
Okay.
Or you can call your provider, or you can call the hospital. They might tell you to try drinking lots of ice water first, fruit juice, a snack, something to get baby moving. But if you're still not feeling that baby move within 30 minutes to an hour, come to the hospital.
Okay.
Now, a little kicker on that. So a little grain of salt with the no fetal movement. Mm-hmm. So with my pregnancy, I always felt my little boy move. That's the one that just came up. I always felt him move. I hardly ever felt my little girl move because the way she was turned. She mm-hmm. was turned to where her spine was facing my stomach and her legs were kicking towards my back. So I never really felt her move. That being said, no fetal movement or decreased yeah. significantly less than what you're used to feeling, you need to come into the hospital.
Okay.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
Okay.
Vaginal bleeding, a little bit of spotting after a cervical exam or after having sex is normal. And with the whole sex thing, check with your provider if you should be on pelvic rest or not during the pregnancy. As soon as I found out that I was having twins, I put myself on pelvic rest. And I told my husband, no, because we're not going into preterm labor. So I said no. But check with your provider first.
Yes.
So any kind of vaginal bleeding, dark red blood, blood like a period, you're soaking through a pad in an hour, come to the hospital. It's running down your legs, come to the hospital and wear okay. a pad in because your labor and delivery nursing staff can look at that and evaluate the pad as well.
Okay.
If you think your water breaks, it could be a steady trickle, like you think you're just peeing on yourself every time, mm-hmm. or it could be a big gush of fluids like in the movies. Again, you soak a pad in an hour, come in. We want to see you. We don't want you to be sitting at home and then your water be broken for hours and hours and hours. So always come in for that. Then other things to come in for are signs and symptoms of something called preeclampsia. Mm-hmm. It can happen with any pregnancy, any time during the pregnancy. It doesn't have just not just with twins. It is, I feel like it's a little bit more common in twins because it has to do with the pregnancy hormones. It only happens when you're pregnant. And it only, and it can happen up to 6 weeks after you've delivered too.
Yes.
So preeclampsia affects your blood pressure, can cause your blood pressure to be super, super high.
Okay.
And protein in your urine cause lots of swelling. If it's not, and headaches, yes.
Yes.
If it's not addressed quickly, it can develop to eclampsia where you have seizures. So you want to, and that's, this is why your doctor always has you pee in a cup whenever you go to visit, because they're checking for protein in your urine. They're also checking for sugar in your urine in case you're diabetic. And they're also checking to make sure you don't have an infection.
With that too, I also want to say vision changes could also be.
Yes. Okay. I'm getting there. I have a whole spiel.
Yes.
Whole spiel.
Because this, honestly, so, you know what's so funny is that I would say that during class, it's what people are the most anxious about. And there's such a long list that it's like, it's do you say like everything? You're like, I do want to tell you everything, but no, I don't want to tell you everything because I don't want you to psychosomatically now say I've gone blind in my left eye from the anxiety.
No, no. Right? You want to say everything and make sure you want to be educated because, you know, we have some patients that are like, well, no one ever told me this stuff. And then other ones are like, oh my gosh. And we did have one that I gave the whole spiel to, and she was a little on the bigger side anyways, but she noticed that she did have significant more swelling. And so she came in and by God, her preeclampsia had gotten a little bit worse enough to where we went ahead and delivered her. So it's always important to be aware. So with the swelling, it's normal to have some swelling in labor because the babies are sitting on blood vessels and nerves and stuff. So it's distributing the water in your body differently, the fluid in your body differently. But it's significant swelling where you are like two, three, four times as swollen as you were the day before. And like your face is super puffy. We say sudden severe swelling to the hands, face, or feet.
Yeah.
Where it looks like your eyes are swollen shut. Those are reasons to come in. Severe headache that doesn't go away after taking two extra strength Tylenol, drinking water, and resting in a cool, dark room.
Yeah.
Your headache is not going to go away if you're in a brightly lit room with everyone running and screaming around. You want to be resting. Vision changes, constant spots, floaters in your eyes, not just when you rub your eyes, but all the time. Looks like the lights are flashing at you like in a thunderstorm, but nothing's going on. Those are all reasons to come in. And if you stop peeing, if you haven't peed in like 24 hours, that's probably a good sign to come in, or 12 hours, you know, unless you are also a nurse. It's normal for nurses not to pee for 12 hours. We hold it in. If you're not peeing, then severe nausea, vomiting, where you can't keep anything down for at least 24 hours. Your stomach gets super, super, super hard. Not like a contraction, but it stays hard and it hurts to have someone physically touch you.
What does that mean?
That can mean that the preeclampsia has worsened to affect your liver.
Okay. Yes.
And so we want to get that checked out.
Okay.
And make sure everything is okay. Again, always check with your provider.
Okay.
Don't just take my word for it. Just check with your provider. But super hard abdomen that hurts all the time. Obviously, if you think you're contracting, come in. Contractions. If you are preterm, we want to see you sooner rather than later to see if we can stop it, typically. And so usually I tell my patients if they're having more than 4 to 6 painful contractions in an hour, then they need to come in.
Okay. Okay. So 4 to 6 painful contractions in an hour. I'm calling my doctor or just coming in?
You can do either or.
Okay.
So if it's during office hours, mm-hmm. call the doctor and see what they want you to do. And you can always call your labor and delivery unit too if it's after hours and see, because they might tell you to try drinking water or taking Tylenol or okay. soaking in a warm tub to see if that helps. But okay. if they are not getting better, then mm-hmm. we want to see you. And then once you are term or closer to term or I think you're in actually in labor, it should be contractions about every 5 to 6 minutes apart that okay. are getting stronger and longer. If it's false labor or Braxton Hicks contractions, they should go away with either drinking lots of water, activity change, position change. They should go away. But if they're not going away, then that's a reason to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially if you're early before 36 weeks, then definitely, you know, I wouldn't wait more than about an hour or two.
So let's talk about this Braxton Hicks situation. First of all, who is Braxton Hicks and why do we hate this person so much? And why are they torturing us?
Well, some say these are practice contractions to get your body ready for labor. It's annoying. I don't like it. So Braxton Hicks, I don't even know. I looked it up one time to see where the name came from and I can't even remember anymore. The things we Google on night shift.
It's true, right? It's true, really yeah. true. It's like we say this name all the time, but I don't know if it's even a person or if it's a place. I have no idea. Okay, so if somebody's coming in, how do you know that they're, you know, quote unquote Braxton Hicks, Tony Braxton Hicks is where I'm going to go with. How do you know that they're kind of the fake ones versus it's the real showtime?
The only way to definitively know that it's the fake ones versus the real ones is to come in and have a cervical exam.
Okay.
To see if your cervix is changing.
Okay.
The Braxton Hicks contractions will not make you dilate.
Okay.
They will not make your cervix open up. Real contractions will make your cervix open up, or they'll make them make it thin out, and they'll okay. bring baby down. Fake contractions, the Braxton Hicks contractions will not. So the other thing with when you're at home, if you think you're having contractions
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to differentiate if they're real versus fake, again, ice water, being hydrated can sometimes stop them. Changing your activity. If you are up running around the house all day, that can make you have contractions.
Okay.
So taking a rest. Sometimes when I had my Braxton Hicks contractions, they were worse if I sat down. So if I stood up and walked around, they went away. If they go away, if they change.
Yes.
If you're able to take a nap, it's not the real thing.
Yeah. You're not going to sleep through labor. It's really true.
Yes.
That's really it. Okay. Do you want to know who he is?
Yes. Did you look it up?
Of course I did. Come on.
Okay. Yay.
Okay. So John Braxton Hicks, he is an English physician who he was the first person to describe them. And this was back in 1872. So he was one of the first people that were like, okay, there's different stages of labor. Let's talk about it. So now we know Mr. John Braxton Hicks,
mm-hmm.
not Tony Braxton Hicks.
Not Tony.
If you don't know who Tony Braxton is, please Google that after you finish this podcast, because you should be listening to Tony Braxton. But that's so funny. Okay, so it is false labor virtually, but we cannot know. And the really way that we know is a cervical exam. And if we are not dilating, then it's full on Mr. John Braxton and we're just wasting our time and we go home. But if we're sleeping and we could, you know, really relax through it, if we could relax, that happens. Now, this does or doesn't happen more when you have older children?
No, you feel the Braxton Hicks contractions more with each pregnancy.
That's crazy.
That first pregnancy primes your body to feel everything.
Isn't it great?
Everything the next time around. Now, I will also say, as a little disclaimer for the Braxton Hicks versus real contractions, if you have any questions or concerns about it, please call your provider.
Yes.
Or go to the hospital, please. Because I've had some ladies come in who all they're complaining of is vaginal pressure, mm-hmm. which vaginal pressure is normal with twins because you have two babies and they're sitting on you. but just complaining of vaginal pressure, not mm-hmm. feeling any of their contractions, and I walk in and they're 8 centimeters.
God bless.
That's happened multiple times.
God bless.
So, yes, always, always don't ever, ever feel embarrassed mm-hmm. or ashamed to call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. The nurses at the desk might be talking smack, but
yes,
we would still rather see you and yeah. know that everything's okay.
Yes.
Than for you to sit home and worry and have your babies on the floor in the living room or on the drive to the hospital. Just call or come in.
Yes, it is.
We would rather see you all.
A cornerstone saying at Twiniversity that is, I would rather you overreact 100% of the time than underreact once.
Yes.
That is my yes. whole spiel when it comes to preterm labor, because for in all sincerity, for me, I felt something, but I didn't really know what it was. And I was not calling a doctor or doing anything because I was like, no, it was like 27 weeks. This is literally, I was 27 weeks and I was like, I just ate too much. That's what it was. But then I got a little hermit-ish, which is not my personality. Yes. So my personality was changing and I was sitting there on the couch very concerned. And my husband said, we should call the doctor. And I'm like, no, you're being dramatic. We're not going to waste their time. Let other people, you know, go. Like, this is not a me thing. And he called the doctor, which is why I always say it's important for my partners yes. to make sure that you guys have the OB's phone number or the labor and delivery desk as well. And I went up and sure enough, they were not Braxton Hicks. I was literally having contractions at 27 weeks and we were able to put the kibosh on it pretty quickly. And I made it to 34 weeks. But without my husband's reaction, I don't know what would have happened. So it really goes to show how sometimes we don't even trust our instincts or we'll ignore them because of fear.
Yes. And sometimes you need to have that second person keep you in check. And it might be your partner. It mm-hmm. might be your coworker if you're still working. With what happened with me, like I did not go to the hospital with any of my pregnancies until it was time to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
With my second one, I did go thinking that I was in labor and then I got sent home and then I came back the next day in labor. So it was just one of those things. But at 19 weeks with my twins, mm-hmm. I did something called vagal down. And that's where I wasn't straining, but it can happen when you poop.
Mm-hmm.
You strain a little too hard and then you pass out because yep. the vagus nerve. I passed out. I woke up on the floor and I got up and I just called the labor and delivery unit. And I was like, well, I'm 19 weeks. There's really nothing y'all can do. I'll just keep my doctor's appointment. And that was it. But it's always important to call. And then I still worked on labor and delivery until I was 35 weeks. And we were a busy unit. And I told one of my coworkers that I was contracting. She put me on the monitor. She checked me. I was closed. We told the oncoming shift what had happened. And I came back in for my next shift. And they said, well, your doctor wants you to have a steroid shot. So I got a steroid shot at work.
Why not?
I didn't go into labor until I was 38 weeks. But still.
Why not? It literally, it's there. It's, you got to take advantage of the perks of your job, no matter what they are.
Yes.
This is fantastic. Honestly, I feel so bad because I want to keep you all day. You agreed to play with me today, but you could tell that you are somebody who is like, you're important to me. And I think that people yes. forget that that is what makes a nurse, because nurses are, and I'm not saying God, we love our doctors. We do. But nurses want more of the hand-holding and you want more of the one-on-one and you get to spend time with patients, where doctors often have to like come in, give you some scoop and then you go out, or they'll report to the nurse and say, I need this to be done. Nurses are the best. You guys, honestly, and labor and delivery and NICU nurses and postpartum nurses. Well, of course, we're biased.
Yes.
Hello, here at Twiniversity, since this is what we kind of live for our pregnant twin mamas. But you're just mm-hmm. the best. And I really wish, I'm going to move to Texas for my next set of twins. I'm not having those.
Perfect. Yet.
But just Perfect. in case, you never know. Now I know. But Chrissy, thank you so much for playing with me today. I really, really mean it.
You're very welcome.
If we have last minute questions, welcome. Could we stalk you? Would you be okay
yes.
with that?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. I like where we're going with this. So for everybody that's listening, you heard it here. We could stalk her. So the way that you could do this is you email us at community@twiniversity.com and you're like, I want to speak to Nurse Christy. What do I do? And I'm going to be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You just message me. I'll get it to her. But we have a lot of stuff here for you. And I just wanted you to know, we were so lucky at Twiniversity to have so many wonderful nurses and teachers. And we have a wonderful slew of people. And they're just one of us too. Like, I hope that you guys listening to Christy, you saw that you can press that button in your room and that she's literally waiting for you to press the button on the room. Sure, she could place to do go on her phone and do some other stuff until the button is pressed. I'm sure she's got stuff to do, but there's nothing that's going to make your nurses happier is when you utilize them for the unbelievable resource that they are, because that's why they do what they do. So press the button. Email us if you have questions. And if you want to come play with us at Twiniversity, don't forget, we're always here. So you could email us, like I said, or drop us a message on any social platform. We're just at Twiniversity on anything. If you want to come play with me in Twiniversity classes where we go through everything that Christy said, which was great because there's literally nothing that we don't talk about because it's important stuff to know. And if you think you heard it all, you haven't even heard the tip of the iceberg. So we want to help you get ready. There's a million things that we have, and just go to our website, blah, blah, blah. You'll see it. And guys, enjoy your pregnancy. Most importantly, take a million pictures. Your body is amazing. Enjoy it. Rub some oil on it. Take a selfie in the mirror, because once these babies are here and you're enjoying them there, you will quickly forget how amazing and how warrior-like you are, because you'll be so focused on what's in front of you, you'll forget what was in the past behind you. So really, really enjoy that. So thank you so much for listening. And until next time, guys, see you later, alligators.